I believe that every one of us at some point or another are going to need to be able to get something that we don't have in ourselves to help us to be able to get through and make it. I don't know, I can't think of anyone in this life that I've known of that ever got so spiritual or in a place that troubles didn't come to them and affect their lives. So we all going to need something. I was thinking about Brother Jim White at home. Some of you knew him. All of my saved life, I know Brother Jim, and he was a very devoted man. I know of him missing service none. For unless he was out of town, couldn't been there, he didn't just stay home. He got to the place that his mind was bad and he would think Wednesday was Tuesday. Sometimes it was time. Sometimes he'd come in late and said, "I thought it was Tuesday," and things like that. But he had a heart to serve the Lord, and he really gave to the Lord. But when it come down to his last struggle, he needed something special. He needed more than he had to go through that. He needed more. I'd like to think tonight, we've been dealing with Isaiah 12 and 3. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And I want to look at another well tonight, and I think it is a very important one. I think that it is an extremely deep and blessed well. And it's called grace. The grace of God. It's misunderstood in the world, religious world, of what grace is. I think it's easy enough to get the definition that's workable for us. It's divine power. It's not just God looking down and we have grace and it is unmerited favor. We don't deserve it for sure. But that can't be the only definition to it. So it is divine strength, divine power. I believe that before life ends for us, if the Lord comes back, maybe it's different. But if before life ends in a natural course for us, every one of us will probably run into some very hard and difficult things in our life that the world goes through them too. But we're not interested in just going through them. But we need to be saved when we come out the other side of them. So it's a different plan than the world has to go through these things. But we want to come through them and still have a pure heart. We want to be able to go through the deepest, hardest trials of our life and still believe in God. We want to go through the hardest, deepest, toughest trials of our life and still have a love for our brother in those kind of challenges. Before we leave this world, we probably will be faced with some very, very tough situations. And we're going to need to go that well. We're going to need to have something that we don't have. I thought about Jacob. Remember the story of Jacob? Jacob, with his mother's help, deceived his father and took Esau's birthright or his blessing. And it got so hot that I believe that they sent him off, go get a wife from, I believe, Uncle Laban maybe. He went into another land, and you remember how he paid 7 years for Rachel and got Leah, paid another 7 years there and got his wife. And there come a time after he had some children, he had the flocks, and you remember all the stories that there come a time that he's going back home. He needed something that he didn't have. He needed a change. He needed God. He needed to know God was with him too. So he came to a place that there was an angel. Remember that? And he wrestled all night with the angel. Got his hip, throat out of the joint, wrestled with the angel. That was monumental in his life. It was an experience that altered him. He wasn't Jacob anymore. Something happened and changed his experience right there. He needed something when he went to face Esau. I know what he thought of. He's going to face this fierce brother of his that he had done wrong. I'm going to tell you, he needed something to do that with. And he had to find God there in that situation. We don't know tonight, folks, what we're going to face in this life. If you have a desire to make it to heaven, you're going to need the grace of God. You're going to need things in certain places and time. You're going to need a grace to overcome things. We live in what is called the day of grace. And it makes us, as Christians, as people in this dispensation, we are inexcusable. Because we're not dealing with some weak little thing. We're dealing with a power that's able to keep us in any trial. That's why it is as important as it is. Do you know the reason we can preach the fullness of the counsel of the Word of God in everything? Some of it is wonderful. Some of it is hard sayings. Some of it is very difficult to live up to in certain places. But we can preach the full counsel because of the grace of God. No matter where we find ourselves, it is possible to have the victory through the grace of God. That well that's been provided for us is really, manna was a good type of it. Because I find it this way, perhaps you do too. I have been amazed at the trials that I'll go through and the blessings of God's grace that comes on me and then face something the next day. And the victory I won yesterday don't mean a thing today, does it? Have you ever run into that, come through a real victory and find out that you think it at least carry a few days and find out that the next day, here you are in the same need that you was before that. It's because God, He wants us to find His grace. He doesn't give more than you need. I've had people to say things like, well, I don't know if I can do that or not. I don't know if I have a grace for that or not. Well, you won't until you get there. God's not going to give you grace for something that you're not even facing. Bad people say, you did that, I just don't have the grace for that. Well, you're not facing it. Wait till you face it and then see what kind of grace God can give you in that kind of a place. There is a well tonight of God's grace. And we need to learn how to get to that grace daily. Be able to find God's grace to be able to walk in this life. So I want to look at the Scripture. I want to start out with the Scripture where Paul, 2 Corinthians, and we'll go all the way to the first verse, I suppose, 12th chapter, 2 Corinthians. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up in paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above my measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Here's the answer that Paul got. You can see it plainly, the Lord's work in his life. God's great concern for Paul was that Paul wouldn't make it to heaven too. He needed him as a vessel. And for what reason? Paul doesn't say. He had the privilege of being in the Spirit of God, and the Lord showed him things unspeakable and things that wasn't lawful to speak and those kind of things, and blessed him to the point that possibly Paul could have considered himself something. Possibly others, if he could have spoke of it, would have considered him something above what he was. But the Lord knew how to deal with that too. So he sent him a thorn in the flesh. Been talked about and considered. I won't go into it any more than others have. You probably thought about it too. What that thorn in the flesh must have been. I don't know what his was, but I've had plenty of thorns in my flesh. You had yours? I've had things that I prayed, Lord, get me out of this. Lord, can you take care of this situation? Lord, help me in this. But the Lord, this is the answer. The Lord gives us many times. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace can help you to be victorious right in the middle of the trial. Right in the middle of your situation. Right in the middle of your persecution, your distresses. Right in the middle of people talking about you. Right in the middle of things going wrong in your life. Right in the middle of the things that you don't think that you can do by the grace of God. There is the ability in the grace of God for us to do things that's inhuman, impossible, incapable. The things that you think you can't do, you can do in the grace of God. You may say, I done something and now I feel like I ought to apologize, but I just can't do it. Yes, you can. By the grace of God, you can. You can do the impossibles. I heard a story one time that really touched me. It was a woman who had a young daughter. The young daughter was abused and murdered by a man. And the man was caught. And he went to trial and found guilty and was sentenced. This mother went to this man before he was executed and told him, I forgive you for what you've done. And I said when I read that, that was the grace of God. That had to be the grace of God. It was bigger than humanity is. It's not part of humanity to be like that. But it was the grace of God. She wanted to go and tell this man that would shortly be for this world that she had forgiven him and that she loved him and that the Lord loved him. And that there was still a chance for him before he left. Now, isn't that incredible? That she would feel that way and feel the burden of that? It must have been a terrible loss for a loving mother to lose a daughter. It must have been a horrible, grievous, grievous thing. And the man that done it violated her, abused her, probably took the most precious thing in her life away from her. All of those things. But you know, there's something bigger than the emotion. There's something bigger than the feelings. There's something bigger than the reality of it. There's the grace of God. The grace of God can cause us to be able to do things that's impossible to do. When you run into your wit's end, I've told that maybe in this meeting, Tammy was sick and dying. Had four little children. My life was totally altered. Totally changed. I come to a place that I did not know what to do. And I come to a place that I just told the Lord, Lord, I am at my end. I can't go on with this. I couldn't emotionally do it. I couldn't hardly physically do it. I didn't have the go-to. And I told the Lord, I can't go any farther with this. You're going to have to help me. And you know, it was like the windows opened. He didn't change the circumstances, but He sure poured out something of strength and of power into my soul that altered my faith. It was grace. It was grace that was poured on me. A divine power and strength that put into my life that allowed me to know that I can go through this and be saved when it ends. I had the place, folks, of being able to sit in the University of Virginia Medical Center. I sat beside the doctors. I sat beside the technicians. I asked them questions. I saw the best, the most fascinating, the most technological machines that they had to look into the body to do all these things. I asked questions. I looked. I saw it for many, many days and weeks and months, even years. I saw it. MRI, magnetic resonating imagery. The electrons in your body, the molecules in your body, the atoms, the electrons go a certain direction in your body. With a strong magnetic force, it will actually reverse the magnetic pull. When it's rotating one way, clockwise, it'll reverse it, and then when it does, and if they stop it, then it starts back on its normal course. It releases a lot of energy, and that's what the image is picked off of. Oh, who come up with that? That is some kind of invention to be able to layer. They can layer and look right through your body this way. What a machine! You know, when I got through with all of it and looked at all of that and considered it, I said, it's pretty fascinating. But they'll never do what God done for me and my soul. They can do some things with the body, folks. But Paul got a blessing and he's thorn in the flesh. God was able to touch the spirit, the soul of a man. Touched him with a thorn in the... Whatever it was, it touched him. It touched him enough that he's prayed three times and said, Lord, I know what Paul was saying. Lord, I'm hindered by it. I'm living for you, and it looks like I can go a little faster and a little stronger with a lot more oomph to my preaching and all that if you'll remove this thorn in the flesh from me. And the Lord said, no, Paul. I don't want you to rely on that. I want you to rely on the grace of God. The grace of God is what makes you strong. It's what makes you strong. It's not you. It's not your ability. It's not the way you can preach, Paul. It's not your understanding and your development of understanding through all the law. It's your grace in God. When Paul got a hold of this simple fact that when he was allowed to become weak, then was he strong. He had, this is the view that he had. And I'll have to say, Lord, help me. Because he said, most gladly. That's with more than just resigning to it. He actually says that he's longing for it. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When I get down to my weakest points, folks, I'm going to tell you, my experience has been, the Lord has been richer in my life the weaker I become. He makes Himself known more and more. And there is a well for the grace of God. The world has its solutions too. there's marriage counseling. I'm not against these for the world. But I'm going to tell you, the saints and people that look to the Lord don't need to trust or dig out of the world's wells. God's got the well of grace. There is in the world marriage counselors. No doubt they have some understanding of marriages and do all these things. They also have sometimes some pretty shoddy answers because it's based on something totally different. I'm going to tell you what trouble in those kind of things need. They need the grace of God. That's what it needs. You say, well, what do you do when only one side's trying to do something? Then I see you need a double portion of the grace of God. You need more than you would have otherwise, but there is available. Because what the grace of God is about is us being victorious through our problems. Because so that we can come to the end of them, as Paul said in 2 Timothy, he said at the end of his life, right down to the end of his life, he said, I finished, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. And I kept the faith. The idea of that is after everything that happened to me, everything that I went through, I was shipwrecked different times. I was whipped different times. I had false apostles coming around, false teachers. The very congregations that I fathered, so to speak, I begot them, turned on me. And all of these things, when I come down to the end of my life, being thrown in jail, being whipped, all these things, I kept the faith. That was what the grace of God done for Paul. At the end of it, that he can say, all these things that would make me doubt, I don't doubt. All those things that was meant to destroy me in my faith, couldn't do it. Every man that tried to come against me, every spirit that tried to come against me, when Satan tried to buffet me, and all these things, what kept me was the grace of God. And I still have faith they're going to take my head off soon. And I say amen to it. Because I know I'm going to someplace better. He said in one place, I'm in a strait between the two. It's better for me to go on, but it's needful you that I stay. I'm talking victory here. This is victory Paul had in the grace of God. Faith. I've still kept the faith. Faith. I've fought a good fight. Now my course is done. And at the end of it, oh, I want it to be my last words. I want it to be the truth of my heart in the last moments of my life. Lord Jesus, I still believe in You. I believe in what You taught me. See, we got all these things that's going to happen. I tell the folks at home quite often, get yourself ready. Learn how to seek God's grace. Because, here's the truth, I'm either going to bury you or you're going to bury me. We're going to face the end of lives. I have seen at home all different kind of things take those saints that was with us. Brother MacArthur Buzzard had a cancer on his face. When I first got there, it wasn't so pronounced, but he wore a patch on it. And he stayed in service, and the years rolled on, and the thing took its toll. And after a while, it took most of his ear, if I remember right, had his mouth. On a number of occasions, we better go up and encourage Brother MacArthur. We better go up and get Brother Mac and get encouraged. And we'd go up there and sit down, and he'd get to telling us what the Lord was talking to him about and doing this. And before long, we was going out there encouraged. Because of the grace of God, he found in his life the grace of God. Sister Sammons ended up with cancer too. These were people that loved the Lord. She ended up with cancer. She fought her battle down too. And it was the grace of God that kept her. You all know Sister Rose? You know, I'll be honest with you, I never looked. Sister Rose was kind of a quiet person. She didn't make a lot of noise, those kind of things. I guess even to a point you may have even said, I wonder about her spirituality sometimes, if you wanted to look at it that way. Sister Rose got condemned with cancer too. And something remarkable happened in her life. She found the grace of God. I went and visited her a couple times, and she was the sweetest thing. She resigned herself to God. They said that the kind of cancer that she had is one of the most terrible, painful cancers that you can have. It ends up going into the bones and breaking the bones out. They actually explode out from the cancer that builds up inside them. They ask her her pain level at different times, from 1 to 10, rate your pain, and she'd say 2. She'd get to hurting a little more than that. She'd call for prayer, and prayer would be offered, and the Lord would touch her. The grace of God. Brother Arbogast had some kind of a lung thing happen to him, and he couldn't hardly breathe, and it was kind of a family trait, and he was up in years, and he kind of had that thing. And he found the grace of God to be able to go through that. We're all going to have to go through something, folks. But the end of it's what's important. To be able to say at the end of it, I fought a good fight. My course is over. My life's over. And Lord, I still believe. I still have faith in You, Lord. After it's all said and done. The grace of God. Brother Salmon's had something happen. Brother Jim's gone. These brothers that I have seen, firsthand seen. Brother White had the grace of God in his life. Oh, I'm so glad I've seen the Lord bless these ones that come down through their life. Because here's a fact for you. We're going to bury you, or you're going to bury us. We'll probably all stand at one another somewhere along the road. We're going to stand because, as has already been mentioned, life really is short, isn't it? And somewhere along the line, thank God that there's these wells because we're going to need to draw from them. And oh, how we need the grace of God, the power and the strength to do the impossibles. Do you think that it'll be acceptable to the Lord to go and meet Him in peace and have hatred and bitterness in your heart? Do you know there's things that's done to us in life that's unjust? It ain't right to do that. There is people that have it wrong, totally wrong about us, and they don't treat us right. But you know what? We're going to have the grace of God. And that's why we preach it. You can be delivered from these things through the grace of God. Like I said, the world has marriage counselors. It has social workers. It has all these things to give answers and solutions to problems. Most all the problem is simply fixable by the grace of God in our hearts. Lord, help us to have the grace of God. Paul so valued it that he said, I most gladly, therefore, will live in these kind of places that I might be able to experience the grace of God in my life. Another scripture, familiar scripture, is in Titus. Titus 2. Nine says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, not showing of all, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. For the grace of God, listen to how he says that again, giving people some instruction about showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God. That they might be a representative of what it really means to live for God. You're not going to be a witness to God without the grace of God on you because it's so much against what we are to be this way. When somebody reviles you, revile not again. That is not human. When somebody hates you, love them. When somebody does wrong to you, pray for them. This takes the grace of God in our hearts. And so he said, to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, ungodliness is everything that's unlike God. It's all the world's motions. It's, It's cosmos. It's arrangement. The way the world thinks and does things. That's all ungodliness. So denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace of God has appeared to all men. All men. Teaching us that we should deny ungodliness. The grace of God. So, what I get from that is, there won't be an excuse when we come to judgment for why there would be ungodliness in our life. Because the grace of God has appeared. There is a power and the ability to live above this world. We see in our world today a lot of addictions. I know when there is wisdom involved in settings to what we can do to best help somebody, it'd be wise to do it. But the best solution to those kind of things is to dig deep to the well. Draw hard at the well of the grace of God. I believe you all have mercy. But I really believe that when people don't find deliverance of their problems, it's not God's fault. They're not paying the price. I cannot come to the place that I believe that God fails in it, or God's not willing to do what He said that He'd do, but the perfect price rarely gets paid. It takes paying the price to be able to get there. That we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Right here. The idea of that is that there is no redeeming, changing element once you leave this life. That's what that's talking about. To live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world is giving us the illusion that there is no redeeming quality once you leave here. You've got to find it in this life. This is the place for grace. Now, I'll be honest with you about grace. To me, its most important place in my life has been its ability to help me to change from what I was. To change who I am. You know, that's one of the hardest things. I've told this many times. I was talking to my sister Robin. I like to preach about her as much as I can. My sister Robin was a very, very worldly girl. And I actually used to think it was just almost impossible. I tell you, she called me up one time and said, "Marty, I got saved." And I talked the right talk with her, and all at the same time I was thinking, "Sure you did, sis. Sure you did." She was so vain. All these things. She couldn't walk. She couldn't walk down old country road without doing herself up. She just. But you know what happened? She called and told me she was saved, and I said, "Oh, that's wonderful," and all this, and I thought, "Oh, my sister's got religion." You know, it was just a short time after that she called me up and she started saying, "The Lord's been dealing with me about my jewelry. The Lord's been dealing with me about my makeup." You know, at one point I, "Robin, you got saved." But it's a change. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have come new. A different mind, a different heart, a different direction, a different want. But she said to me one time, years after she was saved, she called up and she said, "Marty, the greatest miracle happened to me." You know, she led me on a little bit, I think. "The greatest miracle happened to me." Well, what would you think the greatest miracle could be? That Red Sea splitting was one of the big ones in the Bible. Actually, number one miracle in the Bible was in the days of Joshua. The Lord, and this, the Scripture says this, that never had the Lord ever since hearkened unto the voice of a man like He did in the days of Joshua when He caused the sun to go backwards. Now, see, the Red Sea dealt with some water in a sea. But this had to do with the whole solar system. He actually changed the whole... God did that too. That's real. What do you think the biggest miracle was? She said, the Lord changed me. He changed me. There was something about me that I could not get a change. I couldn't get a change. I prayed and I prayed and something happened and I'm different. I didn't respond to it like I always did. God changed me. Folks, it's in the well. It's in the well. Well, my grandparents was this way. My mom and dad was this way. And I'm this way. You don't have to be. There is a change in the grace of God. Probably the most well-known song Kim ever written. I assume this to be true. Amazing Grace. It was known all over the world, basically. This song has been sung, they say, more than any other hymn. Amazing Grace. I never particularly liked the tune of Amazing Grace. I'll be honest with you. It's never been one of my favorite songs. But what this brother was talking about is an amazing grace. The story behind it was John Newton, I think. John Newton was a wicked man. He was a sailor and he was a wicked man. He'd done a lot of wicked things in his life. But there come a time that he was on the sea, if I got the story right, and the Lord dealt with his life and done a miracle for him right there that converted that man. And he later wrote this song, Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me. You know, it wasn't just saved him, but it worked with him on in his life. And he had many things to work on through his life. If you read about his life, he didn't change everything all at once. But there was an amazing grace that happened. And there was a well of it that he found in his life that changed him and worked with him and moved him. And you know that same well's open to you and I today. We don't have to have those kind of things. And you say, well, I'm just quick spoken. It's all I am. I'm just emotional, so you're going to get the brunt of it. I just do all these things. You don't have to tonight. By the grace of God, you don't have to. There is a power and a strength that goes beyond the human. It's the divine. It changes people from who they are. And what they've become. And what society has made them. And what other people has made them. What their environment has done. What their social standings and all the things that make them what they are. Do you realize that God changes people through His grace? Thank God for His grace. There is a well-known philosophy in the world, in the religious world, that once in grace, always in grace. You've probably heard it. Eternal security. It's not true. It's not true. I had a guy say to me one time, he was arguing the fact, and he said, Marty, it's a gift. You have no right to take a gift back. God can't take a gift back. And he said, it's like this pen. He pulled out a pen. He said, now if I give you this pen for a gift, I have no right to take it back. And I take the pen and you're right. You don't. But I can throw that pen away if I want to. That's the way it is. It is a gift. We lose it. I told him, I said, I can lose it. I lose every pen I get just about, and I lose that one too. And you can lose pens. You can lose it. It's not true. But I'm going to tell you, there is a well of this that God has made in this dispensation and time. Folks, that you and I can get the strength and power that we can need. to be able to deal with us in our lives, to change things that's in our life. It doesn't have to be that way. I'm going to tell you today that your marriages can be rich and full and pleasing and everything God intended it to be by the grace of God. Our congregations can be close and knit and working together and loving and everything that fulfills the soul by the grace of God. But it's going to take the grace of God for sure. It's going to take the divine power because you can't hardly get two or three people different together and get them to agree on anything. But you add the grace of God to it and it changes things. Thank God. You realize that He talked about taking people from every walk of life, different people, different everywhere, and bringing them together into one people by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I believe, didn't Paul say, I am what I am by the grace of God. I take no credit for anything that I have done or can do, but I, by the grace of God. Another scripture, Hebrews 4. Verse says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. Well, you know the way that says that, it's kind of unique. But really, just if you want to put it in a simple way, instead of saying all that we have nots and stuff, it just says we have a, you could say we have a high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And because of that, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That scripture is one of the most encouraging, blessed scriptures that there is. Because this is not talking for any one particular... This is an invitation to all people, no matter what this is. Do you know this applies to a sinner? The boldness... I've thought about it before. I always come to the Lord humble, don't you? This says boldly. Do you know boldness and humbleness is not opposites? You can come boldly humbly. But boldness isn't we're coming because we're something. The boldness is that Jesus Christ is accepted. I'm coming to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ, accepted of God. I can boldly come because He died for me. I can come without reservation because He died for me. I can come and draw from the well of grace boldly because Jesus made it there for me. I don't have to come short of anything in this life that I need that grace can provide. Come boldly, it says, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you don't need it now, you will need. If you throw away the idea of living for God, then it all changes. But if you have anchored in your heart tonight, I want to be one that'll be found faithful, then you're going to need to come boldly to the throne of grace. To be able to get the grace that you need, or grace to help in time of need. When I find myself short, I need grace. I had an incident, many of you know, where a guy ended up with a gun at my head, ended up slamming me in the head with the end of the barrel. He steals right around the neighborhood. I pass by him every once in a while, and you know what? I have to think when I do. I have to think about Paul there because I feel kind of the same way. It's kind of a thorn in my flesh in that community around there. I'll be honest with you. And I find that I need, when I even see him, I need grace. But I ain't interested in losing my soul over it. I want to love that guy just the way the Lord does. But that was an injustice. Oh, we all get done wrong from time to time. But it takes grace to feel right about him. It takes grace to act right. It takes grace to speak about him in the community like I ought to. I've got to go to the well, folks, from time to time on that account. Do you know, it'll sneak up on me sometimes and I'll think I'm all graced up and just now a thought will come into my mind and you know what I'm back at? Lord, I don't want to think like this. I'm going to need help. And this is, I'm going to tell you, the old Marty, I remember him real well. He wouldn't have been concerned about right thoughts about that fellow. He ought to have been on the hunt. Well, I don't want to be on that. I don't want to be that way. So, Lord, give me some of your grace to be able. And do you know it may be possible that somewhere before life ends, I might be able to make a friend. I might be able to add something to the kingdom one of these days. If I hold true, and at the end of it, if none of that happens, I'm desperate to have the grace that it takes for me to make it to heaven. And there's all these situations in life. You guarantee me you won't have a gun at your head. You guarantee me somebody won't do you wrong that you feel so bad. You guarantee me somebody won't abuse one of your little children or one of your loved ones. And the feelings run rampant and it's hateful and it's all the things that downsize it to me. And how are we going to get over the human quality of it? The grace of God. That well that God made for us with joy. With joy. I'm going to tell you, thank God. Thank God that there's a well. Thank God there's some way to have victory I've never known before. I can overcome these things in my life if I will. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, I don't have to be shy about it. God, the Lord opened this thing up. I don't have to be shy about coming to there. I don't have to worry about being rejected when I come and say, I'm failing, Lord. I'm losing out here. Lord, I've got to have some grace. Come boldly. Come boldly to get what you need. Oh, and the one scripture says something about opening the windows of the heavens and pouring out a blessing that you can't contain. Sometimes it's like that. And sometimes it's enough. Sometimes it's enough. But He never fails. My grace is sufficient for you. If you want to go to heaven tonight and you want to go with all your heart, if you want to be the best that you can be, if you want to be a pillar in the church, if you want to have a good congregation, if you want your family to be blessed, it takes the grace of God to do it. And it's available to each and every one of us. We'll look at another scripture. It's in Ephesians 3. I'll start with 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The power that worketh in us can't be a power of our own. And I thought about some of the men of the Scriptures that found that well of grace that gave them the victory. Scripture says, and Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, he preached to them. He preached a message. And I want to tell you, it wasn't no soft message he told those folks. Your father stoned the prophets. You know the words right on down. They got angry at him and gnashed on him and began to stone him, and they stoned this brother to death. But right in the middle of it, he said, don't lay it to the charge. I think old Stephen found the well of grace right there in the middle of it. A grace to love his persecutors. A grace to love those that was out there doing that to him. Is that natural? No, but it's powerful. It's life-changing. And the Lord knew what he was doing. There was somebody standing in the crowd. As far as I know, he never chucked a rock. But he held the coats. And he sure was glad that they was a-doing it too. He was probably saying, good throw. That was a good one. Keep it up. And it was powerful unto Paul. I imagine Paul rehearsed that scene many times when he tried to tell the Jews and those that are around his credentials for preaching the gospel and what he was. He was able to look back to what he was and say, this is what I was had it not been for the grace of God. I was a murderer until I found the grace of God. Now I don't murder anymore. But I love everybody. He said, I am void of offense of both God and man. I've lived honest before you all. That takes the grace of God. So tonight, it's available. The grace of God. You don't need it now. You serving God, you'll need it. You'll need it in an abundant way. You'll need it. There'll be things to face that you won't know how you possibly can face them. But it's possible. I believe that it's possible to, as that scripture said, live soberly, righteously, and godly right here in this present life.